overjoyed with what the Lord just did. Because what we just experienced is what authentic community looks like. What authentic family looks like. It looks like love going to each other. It looks like just being totally real. And I think that sometimes in the context of church, that can be scary because maybe it hasn't always been done so well. And last week we had Pastor Will bring an amazing message, but the week before we started in our series, Foundations for Community, and this morning we are going to continue that series, Foundations for Community, Powerful People Do Life Together. Judy liked that. Powerful people do life together. And, you know, one of the reasons One Life Community Church exists is not because we wanted to be a church. We just wanted authentic community. We wanted a body of believers that truly lived out the scriptures, that truly loved like we're supposed to love, that truly was there to pray for each other, to mourn when someone else was mourning, and to rejoice when someone else was rejoicing. And I'm sure that there are plenty of other authentic communities out there, in churches, but we were called to Noonan just to bring that, and we just believe that that's Father God's heart, and I believe that He's molding and shaping churches all over the world to come back to that authentic community. But the challenge is this: we need to bring understanding and wisdom to what that looks like. And the truth is, we're just messy people, right? We all have messes, including me. And I think that if we can lay some foundations of what a healthy community looks like, not a perfect community, healthy community looks like, as I was writing my sermon notes, I kept seeing the bowling alley. And when the kids were little, you know, I don't know if they still have them, they used to blow up these, like, balloon-type things in the gutters so your kid would never get a gutter ball, right? They always scored a point. And I feel like that's what the Lord's doing with the body right now, the body, the church, us, is He's blown up these bumper guards, and He's saying, you're not going to get a gutter on this thing, but you got to keep throwing the balls down to get any points, right? So just in review, in case you weren't here, or maybe you were and you've probably already forgot the message, by the way, they're on podcast if you're interested. By way of review, last 2 weeks ago we talked about foundations for community, what healthy love looks like. And we talked about sacrificial love produces covenants, right? We talked about unconditional love that produces intimacy, and we talked about a self-love that will produce healthy boundaries in our life. And these are some building blocks that we need to begin to operate in if we're going to be in a community, be in a family. We have to have covenant with each other, we have to have intimacy, and we have to set up healthy boundaries. Because healthy boundaries look like you matter, but so do I. So we see sacrificial love in operation. We see unconditional love in operation through intimacy and relationships. And then we see a self-love, which is healthy when we learn how to love ourselves through Jesus's lenses, right? And we see a self-love that's operating through boundaries in our life that are healthy for each other in relationships. And we're not just talking about marriage. We're talking in the context of a community of believers. But you can apply this stuff to your marriage, you can apply this stuff to your relationships, you can apply this stuff to your work relationships. You start implementing this stuff, start applying it in your life, and you'll see things begin to change and transition all around you, and you actually start to enjoy life. You begin to enjoy what God, Jesus, truly talked about, the abundant life. Amen? I think the clearest picture, and I might have said this in the first part of the series, but the clearest biblical community that we can see, we can look into the book of Acts, right? And we can see it wasn't necessarily this organized church, but we saw communities of believers coming together, right, to worship, to pray for each other, to eat. My favorite one. To eat, right? To give you what you needed, if I had it. To take what you have, if I need it. Come on. There's a bunch of people, man, doing life together. The thing is, they were so in love with Jesus, and the move of the Holy Spirit was so powerful, and these miraculous things were happening. There was no denying what God was doing in the earth, right? There was no denying that there was no longer a separation. Now, I want you to understand this. If God's value on relationship was so expensive that it was the cost of his son, it kind of defines how important relationship is to God, right? Two people agree with me. Good. We're getting there. If we understand that relationship was that important, then I think we need to begin to place emphasis within the body of the importance of being relational with each other in a healthy way. Yeah. In a healthy way. And so we've seen maybe some poor models in different churches that we've been in. We've seen maybe in our own home. Maybe we don't even have a very good grid of what family looks like just because how we grew up. You know, I grew up in an Italian family. My dad's out of town, so I can kind of rag on our family. He's not here this morning. He's in Florida with my mom. I grew up in an Italian family. My mom's Italian, so she's loud. She talks with her hands, right? And my dad, he was born in the 50s. By the way, I honor my parents, and I love them to death, and they did the best they knew how. They were amazing parents. Amazing parents. But my concept, my model of family was loud yelling, right, and my hands waving, and then the idea of the father in the family was you go to work and you bring home a paycheck, and then the rest of the day is yours because you did your job. And I grew up not knowingly feeling neglected, feeling unloved, different concepts that came out of that situation, right? But God redeems everything. So maybe you grew up in a home where your idea of family looks this way, but it wasn't modeled biblically. There was no healthy foundations to lay to that. So this morning, I'm going to give you three more points because I'm just a point preacher. And so you can write the notes down if you want, or you can check out our podcast. It should be up on iTunes this week, I hope. We're in a transition with that. So let's just pray before we go any further. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've put the bumper guards up for us to start rolling the bowling balls down the lane, to start doing this right. And that it might look messy, it might be a little strange sometimes, but I just thank you that you're in the middle of it. I thank you that in your heart, that relationship was always your desire. So, Father, I ask that you just put the desire of relationship in our hearts within the context of the local church and the local body of believers coming together, Father. Teach us what sacrificial love looks like. Teach us what unconditional love looks like. Teach us how to put up healthy boundaries. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, if you have your little notes or your bulletin, you can take them out because I'm going to hit you with 3 points. I'm going to call it the 3 C's to powerful people doing life together. You should be impressed. I figured out how to get 3 points all starting with C. I was like, man, Jesus, you're cool. I felt good about that. All right. 5 people are laughing. We're getting there. Everybody just smile right now. Just smile. Just smile. Say, I have joy even if I don't have joy, because Jesus is joy. Amen. Powerful people in a healthy community should be a greenhouse for others. Listen, people don't want to come to church, man, because we're not a greenhouse. We haven't created a culture, we haven't created an environment where an unbeliever could feel safe to come into and expose their wounds, expose their trash, their garbage, their mess, whatever that looks like, and say, here I am, this is me, and I know you guys will continually love me, while God gets me together. Emphasis on God. Because none of you get to wear the title of God, Jesus, or Holy Spirit in here. Okay? He lives in you. He flows through you. But you don't get to do his job unless he tells you to. And last time I checked in the scriptures, it ain't your job. Everybody just say, that feels good. We need to create a culture, and that's our vision at One Life Community Church, to create a culture of a greenhouse effect, an environment where people can come in, be healed, be loved through their process, through whatever they're going through, while God transforms their life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we just get to go along for the ride. With me?
Yeah.
It's hard to find that in some places. So our vision has always been to become a greenhouse for an environment. 3 C's to powerful people doing life together. This is where it starts, guys. This is where it starts. It starts with sacrificial love. It starts with unconditional love. It starts with communicating healthy boundaries within the context of family. It starts with, number one, connection. The benefits of the body. Number two, communication. My experience with you matters. And your experience with me matters. Come on. Number three, consistency. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because we can all be good, we can all sometimes be bad, and sometimes if we're good and bad, it just looks ugly. You with me? This is family. This is what family does. This is where we're at. And if we have the right tools, we'll begin to see a healthy family come together and be able to change a community, be able to change your families. Be able to change your neighbor's families, because you're going to model something that they've never seen in their life. You're going to inspire them to run to someone that brings transformation. His name is Jesus. Most people don't want what we have. Why? Because they say it doesn't work.
Wow.
Talk to someone who doesn't believe in God. Listen, people aren't looking for perfection in Christians. They're just looking for us to live out what we say we believe. And it starts in here, in the four walls, a body of believers really loving each other while we're messy. Learning how to remain connected to each other. Learning how to communicate healthy communication signals to each other. And staying connected regardless of the situations, regardless of what's going on in my life, regardless of what's going on in your life, we're going to remain connected and we're going to run this race together. See, this thing, we weren't called to be individuals running this race. It's a relay. You guys know what a relay race is? We're all handed batons off to each other. We each run certain legs of the race to all complete it at the same time. In this game, this running race called life. And if we begin to actually walk in this vision, walk in this culture of powerful people and powerful family, powerful community, it has to spill over on the people that are around us. It has to spill over into our community. We have to learn how to do life in a powerful way while empowering others to be powerful in the context of family and community. I'll say that one time because that's a tongue twister. Wow, I can't believe I wrote that. We must learn how to do life in a powerful way while empowering others to be powerful in the context of family and community. Number one, connection. The benefits of the body. Now there's scriptures and we'll get to them. Best way that I can demonstrate this to you is if I took my leg off and I laid it over here and I decided to walk over here, guess what? I could be able to walk too good because my leg isn't connected to my body. The need for connection and community is vital to us being able to produce what we need to produce to affect our families and our community. Judy and I have been married for almost 20 years. I promise you, we have encountered any situation in a marriage you could think of, trust me. If you are newly married, you would benefit by being connected to someone that's been in a marriage and been through experience of that marriage for a while. Correct? It's all relational. It's all us being connected to help each other, to guide each other, to love each other. I know that this is a scary message because we haven't ever had a community to experience this in, but you got to trust without seeing the effects yet. Most people are disconnected or not in a connection right now because they've experienced a hurt in relationship and they've distanced themselves because they don't trust. Have to learn to trust each other, and that first looks like us learning that we love each other. We have to stop running from each other and running to each other. Come on. It started in the garden. Adam and Eve, what did they do? They ran. We as a body of believers need to begin to run to each other if we feel a disconnection because something is going on in that relationship. Someone has been hurt. Someone has been offended. But instead we say, ain't my problem. I run to people as I begin to feel a disconnection because either I've messed up knowingly, unknowingly, or I've felt this distance and it's not okay. Remember, relationship, how important it was to God, the cost it was paid. We have to learn to start running together, not running over each other. I'm here all day. Running together, not running over each other. Listen, most of the time in the context of family, in the context of a church body, people are running over each other because they're running to a position, they're running to a title, and they're not realizing that they've already been entitled and positioned as a son and a daughter. This church does not operate on titles and positions. I feel honored if you call me pastor. I feel even honored if you call me Matt. because I'm just part of the body, and somehow someone decided that I needed a microphone. I don't know what they were thinking. Connection is huge in community. We have to begin to run to each other, not run over each other, not run from each other. Listen, if someone's in here that's messy, run to them. What? Don't want to get that on me, man. Who do you think the people that need that relationship the most? Why do you think they're messy? Most likely because they feel disconnected. Most likely because they're not in relationship with somebody within the body. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, it's sacrifice. That's where covenant comes in. My ability to value you is not dependent on your behavior toward me. I give every single person in this room this morning the freedom to say you can love every single person in this room independent of their behavior toward you. How you treat me will not dictate how I will treat you. Come on. We got to quit getting offended, people. It's okay. Offense is going to come. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to run from that person, or are we going to run to him? The next point that we go into, we'll talk about that. But let's just read some scripture first. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12. If you got your Bibles, get them out. Time to underline some things, highlight some things. Starting in verse 21, I think we have it for the board. Yes, no? Oh, you guys are doing okay this morning. You guys are doing great. Get your Bible apps out. Open your Bibles up. But I also want you to think about how this is the Message translation, by the way. So if you're like, what the heck? Mine don't say that. I like the translation on this. It kind of enlightens us a little bit differently. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. Your significance is dependent upon the body of believers that you're a part of. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Our significance is found in the context of family. It's found in the context of community. With me? You weren't called to run alone. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts. Say, I'm a part. One body, many parts. Each is proper size and it is proper place. Say, I fit. Say it. Say, I fit. I'm a part and I fit. Come on, we're breaking some chains this morning, man. No part is important on its own. Say, I can't do it on my own. Can you imagine an eye telling a hand, get lost? I don't need you. Or a head telling a foot, you're fired. Your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. Whoa. Say, I'm more important even if I'm not seen.
More important even if I'm not seen. Thank you, Lord.
Come on. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. And it's a part of your own body you are concerned with. It makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as church. Say, it's a model. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. It's your job to bring healing to the body of Christ. It's your job to bring healing within this community when someone's hurting, when someone's messy, when someone's confused, when they're going through process, and you say, I already figured this out. I've already been with God and dealt with this. They need to figure it out on their own. No, they need you to run to them and love them unconditionally while they're in their process.
Come on, that's good.
Judy, like that. Say, run to him.
Run to him.
I'm going to run to him.
Yes, Lord.
If one hurts, we all do. Are you hurting when someone in here is hurting? Janicia is hurting right now. She lost her spiritual dad. You guys better be running to her. She needs family right now more than anything. I don't know if you know the dynamics of their relationship, but Howard stepped in and he was not just a spiritual dad, but he was playing the role of an earthly father for her over here in Georgia. The best of her family's in California. She needs us right now more than anything. Howard's family needs us right now more than anything. We have a perfect opportunity to demonstrate what a true body of believers look like to Howard's family right now. We should be running towards the opportunity, and you guys are. I'm so honored to be a part of this community. I can't tell you the phone calls and the text messages and the Facebook messages that I received that said, hey, anything I can do, let me know. I want to help. So I bless you guys, and I honor you guys for having that culture in your heart. We're creating a culture here. We're not building a church, man. We're creating a culture, a community of believers that actually look like what the scriptures say we're supposed to look like. You with me? You up for the challenge? If one hurts, we all do. Every part is involved in the healing. Number two, communication. My experience with you matters, and the way you experience me matters also. It's called feedback. I have permission in my covenant relationships to share with them how I experience them. No, that's not permission to point fingers in a relationship. It's permission to say, I feel. You guys probably have heard us teach on it before, but there's a difference between an I message and a you attack. If you are in communication with someone and you begin to say, you do this, you did that, you did this, you're doing nothing but attacking the other person that you're in relationship with because you're avoiding communicating what's going on inside of you. And most likely, there's a lack of trust in that relationship to be able to expose what's really going on inside of you. Judy and I, the first thing when we went through marriage counseling is we had to learn the difference between a you attack and an I message. That was our job for 1 week. After we left the counselors, we had to talk to each other in iMessages. It was the hardest thing for me to do because I was a jerk. Everything that went wrong was your fault. You did it. But when I began to implement this, I wasn't perfect the first week, okay? But when something, a conflict would arise, a situation would arise, and I would say, hey, I want to share with you how I feel when that happens. Dude, Judy was just crumbling in my hands when I said that. Because I was sharing with her what was going on inside of me. And she was able to peer into my heart and see the things that hurt me and know the things that she did that were hurting me. But I didn't have to say, you did this. All I had to say is, I feel rejected when you don't do this. As a body of believers, we need to learn how to communicate to each other how we're feeling, how we're experiencing each other. This is an important part of us remaining connected. Okay? It's healthy. Judy grew up in a home where confrontation was hidden. She never saw her parents fight. She thought, I grew up in a perfect home. My parents never fought. They fought. It was just behind closed doors. The problem with that is she never saw what healthy confrontation looked like. So anytime we had a confrontation, the first thing she would do was pack a bag, jump in her car, and say, I'm out. I don't do confrontation. But the truth is, nothing would ever get resolved that needed to happen in that confrontation. Confrontation is healthy in the context of healthy people communicating healthy messages to each other. Community. Come on. This is some for real stuff. If I've hurt you, if I've offended you, come to me. I promise you, I might not at first humble my... No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally okay with being criticized or receiving feedback from people because I know who I am and I know that I make mistakes. So I give my myself permission to make mistakes. One person said that. Say it out loud. There's power in your words. I give myself permission to make mistakes. Because you're gonna. iMessages versus you attacks. Truth. We hear all this time, oh, you know, you need to confront someone in love. Okay? What that means is this. In the kingdom, you need to go to someone with unconditional love and you need to tell them the truth about what's going on inside of you.
Good. Yeah.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
Get this. Here's a crazy statistic. 60% of all the information that we collect or gather is through communication. The other 40% is through our behaviors.
Wow.
If I disconnect from you, you lose 60% of the information that you know about me. The only idea that you have about what's going on inside of me is the other 40% in my behaviors. The problem with that is as we begin to assume what someone else is feeling or experiencing because we're not in connection, we're not communicating, and we're basing our assumptions off of the behaviors that's manifesting in their life, good or bad. And I run to you, I'm running to you to gather information, 60% of it through the communication that we have. What's going on in your life? problem is the church would rather disconnect from someone that's messy and begin to make assumptions or judgments. Christians don't judge. Off of someone's behavior, and we're missing over half of the information that we need through communicating with them. You guys with me? Telling you, man. We want people to desire what we have. We have to begin to live out what we have. We need to begin to apply these principles in our life. Not perfection, just healthiness. Communication is the key to a healthy relationship. Judy and our relationship became healthy when we learned how to communicate with each other. It was about 5 years ago. 15 years of marriage. Part of it was, I'm not going to give you bullets to fire back at me. Why? Because we had an unhealthy communication in the past. I'd share with her how I felt. Guess what? She'd mow me down in the next confrontation with it. And I begin to distance myself. I begin not to trust. Oh, I did my part too. I'm just like to point hers out. So our confrontations looked like whatever. Okay. Whatever you say. And ready to quit because I didn't understand her. She didn't understand me. Yet we thought we were trying to tell each other what we were doing wrong in the relationship. It took me looking in the mirror and discovering what I was doing wrong and taking ownership of it. If you are in an unhealthy relationship right now, you need to take ownership in it. It's not about them. It's completely about you. And the surrender in that is to say this: God, I know that you love Judy more than me. And I know that you love me and you want me to have a healthy relationship. So I trust you to show Judy the areas where she's failing me in my heart. Come on, it's time to get real with ourselves. I have a right to give you feedback about how I experience you. I have a right to tell Judy how I'm experiencing her. Just as much as she has a right to tell me how she's experiencing me, which is usually daily. Here's the deal. This situation, this feedback is all within the context of covenant. If I'm not in covenant with you, it means I haven't built a trust with you, a rapport, that I have the right to come up to you in your life and say, look, man, when you do this, this is how it makes me feel. So the idea of that is I should want to run to that person and begin to create a covenant or an intimacy with them to build a trust to the place where I can tell them how I experience them. And again, not you attacks, I messages, right? You guys okay with this? We're getting there, I promise. Proverbs 27:6 NIV says this: wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Be careful who you receive feedback from. Someone who is not in your circle will tell you everything you want to hear so they think they can be in your circle. But they don't care to give you truth. They just want to tickle your ears. But a friend will say, hey, I love you. not walking in your identity. I love you, and I noticed we've been disconnected lately. I love you, and I noticed you've been doing this or doing that, and I want you to know how I feel. This is not permission to be ugly. The scripture is not permission to be ugly to your friends. Third time. Let me say it one more time so everybody in here gets it. This scripture does not give you permission to be ugly. It gives you permission to be honest with your friends about how you're experiencing them. Some of you are in your own prison just because you don't know how to communicate.
Wow.
I was. That's why I can say it. She said, amen. Number three, consistency. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let me explain this to you. Revival is messy. Are you okay with a mess? There's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about a stable where there's no oxen, there's no poo-poo. But where there's oxen, there's poo-poo. Messy. I'm totally okay with being in a relationship with messy people because I'm just as messy. And I know that some churches have convinced you that even after you've come in, you should have it all together, you should already be at this place, you should already have an understanding or a theology or whatever, and you're just still messy. It's okay. You're in process. Part of being consistent with each other is saying, I'm going to do relationship with you regardless of where you're at in process with God. And if I can help guide you, great. Man, you guys are quiet this morning. This is crazy. Never diminish the power of togetherness. I'll never forget Chad Smith did a message about isolation. And in the message, he showed a video clip of a pack of lions that were running together. There was one lion, he got cut off from the, not a pack of lions, I'm sorry. It was like oxen or something. And there was one oxen, he was a little weaker, a little slower than the rest of the group, slowly got behind. Well, the lion was just waiting for that one. And as soon as there was enough distance, that lion came up and grabbed it, took it down. Don't you know the enemy is waiting for you to be isolated from your family? Because he's going to come in with lies. He's going to start to attack you with a bunch of garbage. They don't love you. Nobody from that church has called you in 3 days. They have cliques. I'm not part of it. This is the stuff the enemy will begin to whisper to you. They're not a family. They're fake. They just want my money. Come on. I've been there. I know. I've heard the voice. What are you going to do? You going to partner with the lies? Are you going to break agreement with those lies and you're going to run to someone in your family and you're going to say, man, this is how I feel. I'm going to communicate what's going on inside of me.
So good.
Come on. I feel alone. I don't feel like anybody knows I exist in this family. I feel like I'm hurting and nobody has even called me. And I need someone to come to. I need to feel loved right now. I promise you, you will get bum rushed with some love. But you have to communicate what's going on inside of you. We are very prophetic people, but we don't read minds.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It's time to be brave. It's time to be brave in our relationships. Acts 2:1, they were all together in one place. Hebrews 3, daily they encouraged each other. The note says this, right here today is strength, power, and encouragement. I'm chuckling at that because what we just encountered in worship was strength, was encouragement. It was power of God manifesting Himself through a community of believers that were willing to risk, to say, I trust you enough to see my tears. I trust you enough to know that I'm messy. I trust you enough to know I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all together, but I'm going to run to you, not run from you. Intentional relationships, one of our core values at One Life Community Church. Anybody ever read the core values of our church? Praise God, two people. It's on our website. Check it out. That's us. On our website, we are communicating to you who we are, our vision, what we stand for, what our family looks like. I encourage you, get into it. There's packets in the back. If you never received a welcome packet at One Life, I apologize for our staff that stinks. No, I'm just kidding. John was looking. He's like, oh, you can't say that, Matt. No. Grab a packet. It's in the back. It says something like our vision and our DNA or something like that. We want you guys to know who we are, what we're about. Because you get to choose. In the kingdom, we get to choose. Free will is available. You get to choose if you want to be a part of this family. But I promise you this. When you come in, be ready to experience powerful people calling you up to be powerful.
Yes.
Because God is over the body of believers being victims.
Come on.
Yes. Come on, Mama. Clap it again.
Yes.
Do it again. Everybody clap for that one. Yeah. God is tired of you blaming the devil for why your life is miserable and expecting God to be the rescuer when He already sent Jesus to rescue us. It's a choice. Come on, man. It's all available. I promise. Core value, One Life Community Church, intentional relationships, Acts 2. Verse 44 says, they devoted themselves to each other. They were together and had everything. Something about hurt, healing, we talked about earlier. See, when we're together, we bring healing to each other. Together, we bring everything that we need. That's not talking about giving away everything that you have to the church. That's saying whatever you have in excess of, you can give away to someone else. Freely you receive, freely you. Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have.
Yes.
Individualism in the context of family is healthy. Individualism in the context outside of family is very unhealthy because you will fall into deception. Community will force you to grow. There's a reason you're supposed to be in a relationship. It forces you to grow. It forces you to have those conversations. It forces you to have those confrontations with people. It forces you to be called up. You guys understand what the word encouragement means? In courage. To call into courage. It's to call someone up to their identity of who they're supposed to be. If you're not growing, you're not connected. If you're not growing, you're not in communication with other believers in this church. And if you're not growing, you're not consistent in your relationships in this church. I'm just being real with you. I stopped going to church. Listen, church doesn't save you. I don't know who started that thing. We'll just flush that down the toilet. But church is a body of believers together, loving each other, encouraging each other to continue to run a race. Messy, good, bad, ugly. I disconnected from a family for 2 years. My Bible sat on a shelf and grew dust. Or gathered dust. I don't think you grow dust. I had zero communication with God. I had zero relationship with God. And I disconnected all the relationships that I was in community with at the church because I didn't want to grow. I was happy being mad at God. I was happy being mad at a community that I thought had failed. I was happy being mad at a pastor who I thought had failed me. But I looked to everything except the truest answer, which was Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, man, God brings all things to the good for those that love Him. Because even for those 2 years, you know what I learned? I learned that my relationship, that my walk with God was based on a pastor. It was based on people that I thought should have to do the work for me. Come on. I love you, but I can't convince you to continue to mature in Christ. People in here love you, but they can't convince you to mature in Christ. Community will always force you to grow. Hebrews 10:23 says this. I think we got it for the board. Yeah. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful, Jesus. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. What do we encourage each other to do? Love, good deeds. Love, good deeds. Love produces good deeds. Because I love Jesus, I want to work for Him. With me? It's in James, trust me. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Paul was writing to a community of believers that began to disconnect from each other. He said, stop! This whole thing is supposed to be about a family, community. Paul is the first one in the New Testament to introduce the early church as family in his letters. I'll tell you one thing about my family, man. We're messy, but we're down for each other. We got to start learning how to be down for each other. Starts in here. Starts with us. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And I say, even now, come Lord Jesus. Even now, come Lord Jesus. We want Jesus to come back to a filthy bride. With hurts and wounds and offense and anger. Says He's coming back to a spotless bride. Until we learn how to get this thing together, to do it right with each other, you matter. Every single person sitting in a seat in here this morning matters in this family. Stand up. Please, that sounded kind of militant. Sorry. Feeling good. Drill sergeant coming out now. Holy Spirit, come. We know you're here, but I just say come even more. Jesus, I ask that you come and you fill the wounds that maybe where a community just failed. Maybe where a leader fell short. You just fill those wounds up. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you begin to reveal to us what healthy family looks like. Lord, that you teach us how to run to each other, not from each other. That you teach us how to hurt when someone's hurting. And how to play my part in the many parts to bring healing. Father, I ask that you reveal revelation this morning. That you speak to our hearts. That you begin to wash your bride in your truth. I speak to lies about community and I say, go now in the name of Jesus. I just want you to reach out to whoever's next to you and just grab their hand. Even if it feels weird. If you don't have a hand, go find one. We're going to worship holding hands this morning like family. You guys okay with that?
Thing out of what we started with. Come and let your presence fill this place, fill this place. Come and let your presence fill this place. We invite you. Come and let your presence fill this place, fill this place. Let your presence fill this place for you, for you. The one we all need, Jesus. Jesus, shine through. All the praises that we sing. Fill this place, fill this place. Come and let your presence fill this. We invite you. Come and let your presence fill this place, fill this place. Come and let your presence fill this for you.
Then I
you're the one. Come on, just the voices sing that. We love you. We love you, Lord. You're the one we came here for. We love you. We love you, Lord. You're the one we came here for.
Amen. If I could have the ministry team come up. God's good. God's good. Well, I don't know if maybe something in this message, or maybe worship, or maybe something got started in worship and you just want some more prayer, we would be honored and blessed to pray with you, because part of us being the church is praying for each other. And so I invite you to come up. I invite you to receive prayer this morning. It's why we're here. It's part of family, to bring healing to each other. So Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are building a family, that you are building a community of believers that love like you love, that move in power like you move in power. That you encourage us this week, Lord, that you bring us in front of people that need to see you in our lives, and that we begin to live those beliefs out in our life, that we become the light, the city that's set on a hill, the salt of the earth. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you guys. Bless you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us today.